We're back. This is Frank Riccio. I'm talking about the law, and I'm very fortunate to have as my guest today Mike Lennon, who not only is a trial attorney, but a pharmacist with a doctorate in pharmacology. So he's very, very knowledgeable about medications and how it all kind of interacts with the law. And Mike, welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm here.
My next question really has to do with medications. We're talking about antidepressants. And I guess the next question has to do with the duty of the pharmacist as it relates to letting patients know about getting off or taking themselves off the medications, because there are risks associated with that, correct?
Sure. Anytime you come off a medication, you need to talk with the doctor and the pharmacist about it. Remember, the doctors could give out medication. There's nothing to prevent doctors from doing that. The reason we have pharmacists in the system is because they're the last link along the safety chain. And so they know more about more medications than doctors. A cardiologist will know about cardiology drugs and certainly other ones too. But the pharmacist is the general kind of practitioner of medication. So he's there to pretty much make sure everything's okay and catch it if it isn't. So if a drug is supposed to be tapered off, which means you don't just stop it cold turkey, as it were, or as it weren't, you don't just stop it. You take it down slowly. If you're on 10 milligrams, okay, take 5 milligrams for a week, take 2 milligrams for a week, and then you can stop it. There are drugs that need to be tapered off like that. Otherwise, you're going to get some boomerang effects. Like if you have a drug that is controlling a hormone and suppressing a hormone, and then you take the drug away and the body realizes it, then the hormone's going to go pendulum the other way. And that could be a problem. So something like that, you need to taper down slowly, or you need to taper it up. If you start taking a certain drug, you don't want to start it at a certain dose. You want to start low and then it go higher, 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 higher until you reach a therapeutic level. So anytime you're changing your medications or even just your medication dosages, you need to have conversations with the pharmacist and find out what the scoop is. How do I do this? Am I doing it right? What am I doing wrong?
Does a pharmacist have a duty to inform you of the risks of cutting a medication, either cold turkey or not tapering it off?
Yes.
When should that happen?
Yep. Well, it's medication specific. So if they know you're on this drug and they know that you're going to be coming off it, then they should tell you the correct way to do it. And if you're not sure, you should make sure that you do understand before you leave the place.
And again, getting back to antidepressants, is there a danger if someone just stops taking those cold turkey?
Yeah. I mean, certainly some of them are more dangerous than others when you stop cold turkey. And so the medication-specific stuff comes in. But as a general rule, if you're playing around with the chemicals inside your body, you want to find out what's going to happen when you stop taking the medication. So even if you, now I'm not saying that you should know this, if the doctor didn't tell this to you, I'm not saying that you should go out and ask questions every time you're in there, but if it's a new medication, then yes, educate yourself. And if it's new for you, then a good pharmacist will pick up on that and he'll come over and make the effort to make sure that you understand how to use what he's giving you.
And that kind of segues us a little bit into a legal issue. And in Massachusetts, a doctor and a pharmacist has a duty to a patient, but there is also a doctrine known as comparative negligence.
Right.
And how does the self-medicating or the self-treating that a patient does play into this?
Well, you can only self-treat to a certain point. You certainly can't prescribe your own medications, but if you take over-the-counter medications and you're on prescription medications, you want to talk to your pharmacist because certain over-the-counter medications can interact, like pseudoephedrine, which you can't just buy anymore. You have to sign for it. That had some effects on antidepressants, and so the government said, okay, people aren't educated enough and it's not a slight, it's just the way of the world. They're not educated enough to know that this can interact with that, so we're going to put it behind the counter so that the pharmacist can talk to them. But if you are taking over-the-counter medication, it's just a generally good rule, stop by the pharmacist and ask, can I take this with that? 9 times out of 10, the answer will be sure, no problem. But you're asking for the 1 time out of 10, where the answer is no, because this is what's going to happen. Why don't you try this instead?
Assuming someone is on antihypertensive medications, and my understanding is you're supposed to stay on them until, you know, probably maybe forever.
Yep.
What happens when a patient is taking antihypertensives and decides not to take them anymore and just stops them cold turkey? Does that have an effect?
Yeah, bad move.
Okay, tell us why.
Yeah, that's like stopping your own medication. Antihypertensive, it's not, people think, oh, it's anti-anxiety. No, it's just high blood pressure. Okay? If you have hypertension, that's just a big word for high blood pressure. But the reason they call high blood pressure the silent killer is because there are really no symptoms. It's not like you can see the veins and the arteries bursting out against your skin. You have high blood pressure, but you don't feel it. And you only get diagnosed with it when they take your blood pressure. And so when you're on medication, it's kind of like vitamins. You don't realize the effect of vitamins until you stop taking them. And then you feel a little down. High blood pressure, you don't realize really the effect of taking them or not taking them. It kind of feels the same. And so you think, oh, this is okay. My high blood pressure went away. High blood pressure doesn't go away unless it's, say, secondary high blood pressure or high blood pressure due to pregnancy. Then, you know, that will go away if you lose weight or you have the baby. But primary hypertension, high blood pressure, is something that you have forever and you just need to take the medication. If you think that the side effects are killing you, then you just can't stop. You can, but it's a bad decision. You need to talk to the doctor and find out, all right, I don't like this medication. Is there another one that I can take? Or do I really need to take it? Or can I maybe make changes to my diet? And, you know, between the doctor and a good nutritionist, then you can come up with a plan. But it's a bad move just to stop the medication, just like it would be a bad move to go behind the pharmacy counter and pick out something off the shelf and start taking it.
And in terms of that bad move, one of the risks would be stroke?
Oh, sure. Yeah, anytime if you're high blood pressure, all the risks of high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack, heart failure, all these different things that can happen. You're on the drug for a reason.
Now, one of the cases, many times I'll have clients, potential clients, who will call and say, my doctor put me on pain medications, and, you know, now I'm an addict.
Right.
Do you see that yourself in your own practice?
I do. I have a case now of a woman that became addicted to a pain medication after she had broken a bone. She fell down. She broke a bone. She had surgery. She was on pain medication, and she's one of those innocent victims. It's not like she was out on the corner, you know, trying to buy stuff. She was prescribed it by the doctor, and just the nature of the medication is that it was addictive, and sure enough, this happened to this poor woman.
What is the doctor's duty as far as that's concerned? I mean, obviously a patient goes in and they're saying they're having pain and there's no reason to disbelieve them. What is the standard of care? How does that work?
Well, you need to prescribe the pain medication that's the least addictive and the most effective for that patient. So there's a big continuum between, say, Tylenol over the counter, Advil over the counter, and then Tylenol number 3, and then you go up the continuum, Darvocet, and you end up with the heavy-duty drugs that they keep in the safe, like Dilaudid or morphine, things like that. So it's all geared toward what is going to work for this patient and have the minimal risks.
What is the duty of the pharmacist? For example, say a patient continues to ask for narcotics or whatever, or shops around. What are some of the tip-off factors that help you in determining whether or not there's a viable case?
That it depends. First of all, what happened to the patient as a result? Did they overdose? Did they take too much? Did they, God forbid, someone dies? Was it accidental or was it a suicide? And what was the cause of that suicide? Was it because the drugs were on board, or did they have a problem before where they were thinking about suicide, and this kind of potentiated it. So all you need to talk to their doctors and their family members and find out exactly what went on. So those are very complicated cases because there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of different people that you need to investigate. With regard to the doctor and the pharmacist, they need to work as a team. If someone's going to be on a medication, then, you know, there's nothing to prevent the doctor from calling up the pharmacist and say, look, I'm sending this lady down. She's on this drug. You'll see that it's kind of a high dosage, but here's what's going on. If you get the sense as a pharmacist that people are shopping around and going to different pharmacies, then you're the kind of common link there. You're the common denominator, so you need to talk to the different doctors. If they're getting different prescriptions from different doctors, then you're the kind of the hub of the wheel. And so you need to talk to these people and say, look, we need to help this lady, or we need to kind of pull her in a little bit.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about pharmacology and also about the legal process and how it all plays out. Thank you.